A recent article in the State News says, quote, some MSc students see little reason to venture into Lansing, specifically citing students who called it kinda sketchy, rough around the edges, and lacking a lot of culture. These are all things that are easy to say about any unfamiliar city. Every space has its shrouded past and pass. As part of a collaborative project, American Studies graduate students each found a reason to venture into Lansing, hunting for ghosts that lingered beneath the newly remodeled facades of Lansing's oldest district, Old Town. Our project was to interview and research the development of Old Town and put it into conversation with the 150th Lansing celebration in a semester's time. Initially, we assumed that the development of North Lansing in the Old Town was a classic tale of gentrification. A once tight-knit cultural center for Latinos, American Indians, and African Americans became a strip of boutiques, art galleries, and restaurants. But the people we interviewed taught us something else, that maybe the development of Old Town, like the Mustang Bar, is legendary.
When you're there, Lansing is a small town. You go and you see 12 other people that you really, you know, you see 12 people before you get to the end of the street that you know, and everybody's there. And it's really become our, it's what John Gallagher said, it's our entertainment district, but it's not just for entertainment, it's really for, I don't know, for coming together. It's our living room. It's really nice.
I heard, because it doesn't seem to have the same pride. Yes, the houses were not all brand new then, but the pride in the home ownership doesn't seem to be there.
I like to meet people. Everybody here is friendly. You'll find yourself feeling more at home in this neighborhood, even if it's just a window shop.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I guess it's a classic gentrification story, and it was successful. I mean, Terry was able, and Robert Busby able to move it forward like the dream. You know, you go from these ramshackle buildings that are architecturally interesting, but, you know, aren't worth a dime, and you build it up.
Other shopping areas or commercial areas of a city, you can't really just walk down the street almost. You know, it's funny. This area has that. Nobody's hassling you.
Throughout our research and interviews, it was hard to get a clear description of where Old Town's boundaries actually are drawn. Some feel Old Town is confined to a small three-block patch, while others feel that Old Town extends well beyond those three blocks. These discrepancies only add to the richness and diversity that make up the wonderful little patch that is Old Town.
Old Town starts on Capitol, where that dollar store is. It ends after Old Town ends, right after Larch. Which way is this? This is going this way, so that's not. Right? Yeah. Large. Don't quote
me. When do you feel like you're really in Old Town?
When I'm on Turner Street.
Turner Street?
But I know the boundaries go far beyond that. But Turner Street is, well, I guess that's the focal point for what I really like about Old Town, I guess, because that's where I first got my baptism of fire, I would say, is right there on Turner Street. Yeah.
Before the development of Old Town, North Lansing residents recall a strong neighborhood community made up of blue-collar businesses and the occasional farm. While the development of Old Town has complicated the identity of this community, the spirit identified by the Old Town Community Association as North Lansing against the world appears to be a constant in the story of this neighborhood.
Different breed, what do you mean by that?
Well, now it's more craft and entertainment area. Mm-hmm. Back then it was strictly a business. Mm-hmm. They did have bars for entertainment, but that's about it. And they had a couple of restaurants there too. Mm-hmm. But it's a different atmosphere. than it is now. It was more business than known as the poor area. The housing was old there, and a lot of people weren't working, and it was just an old section.
In 1979, 1980, it hadn't been developed like it is now. So
at that time, Old Town was kind of an exciting place, you know. So for me to come to Old Town and work was like, oh my God, you know, it's so scary.
Turner Street was kind of a red light district here, or whatever you want to call it. It was pretty wild. And so until way after the Second War, unless you wanted to go down and get mixed up with some of the wrong company, that was a pretty wild area, particularly Turner Street. I recall Mustang Bar was one of them, and there was, I think, Unicorn, and you know, quite a litany of names of bars. I was too young to participate in that, but I can recall my folks periodically, before I got to drive, we'd drive on Turner Street, and you know, you'd see who was hung over yet or whatever.
When I first was doing the shows at the gallery, I'd sit outside, and I mean, there was so much prostitution. There was a strip club, blowjob club, I don't know what you call it, but at the end, the Kit Kat Club, that's what we called it, at the end of the street. I mean, it was just not nice, and people would slow down. I mean, that's what, if you were, that's, it was, but it was a lot of fun. There was the Mustang, which was legendary, which was closed before I started going down there. There was the Unicorn, and yikes. There was
the militants of Old Town, the activists of Old Town wanted to tear all that down because it had turned into a place where, you know, where homeless guys hung out, and it was not a place where other people were happy, you know, where people were afraid to sit there. So.
See, a lot of things have changed. And Old Town, it used to be like really maybe just a couple of stores. Mm-hmm. It wasn't really a lot of things going on back then. And then it seemed like, I don't know who bought into this area. They started redoing buildings, and they started, you know, renovating different different areas and whatnot. And, I didn't even know that there was housing down here until they started redoing everything, and I got to meet some of the people down there at Sir Pizza. Mm-hmm. And she was telling me about how much she liked moving down here, and she's close to everything, and so I didn't. It was bad when I was younger. So to see it doing all this, where now you see cars on the street, they used to have a five.
Michigan Avenue, before the stadium, it was called the Sin Strip. It was adult bookstores and velvet finger operations, and it was an area of high crime and drugs and prostitution, and how we were able to bring in minor league baseball and build that stadium and transform that part of the city.
I mean, I think the reason for making it a distinguished area so you could focus energy on it, you know, and Terry did that and focused on development in a specific finite square footage so that you could do something instead of vaguely spreading it all out.
Most of the renovations have been pretty much in sympathy with what's already there, even when they've used modern materials.
We're located. And then Old Town, and we picked Old Town because every city has an Old Town, kind of the foundation of the city. And I had been to Columbus, I had seen what they had done with Germantown, which was their original origin. And I'd been to enough major metropolitan cities to know that there's a historic center with the architecture and history and culture that if you could just recapture it would be a center of art and entertainment. And Carp convinced me that the timing was right, and we had to help partner with them, even though at that time I would say at least half of the buildings were vacant. None of the second, third floors were developed at all. And there was a small...
I don't know what came first, just more people, and tearing down the strip-ish club, whatever that was in the corner, it helped a lot. And but, you know, it's too bad there's not more restaurants. There's too bad there's not more retail, destination retail or something that, you know, there's just not much cause to go. I don't find much cause to go down there, even though...
It's really built up a lot, much better than it was before, and it's just a nice place to be. They have that little park there, and you can go there and sit and talk or whatever, you know. It's reminiscent of Greenwich Village to me, on a small scale, you know, yeah. I can't see any negative factors, really. All I can see is improvement.
But in the very old days, this is like back in the days of Mayor Graves and so forth, when Old Town began to try to develop itself as a commercial center, as the original commercial center of Lansing and so forth, and they began to imagine that they would be a place where there'd be bars and restaurants, and we'd have these workshops where we would talk about, we'd have different people come in and talk about what they wanted and so forth. There were a lot of visioning processes that tried to be very, very inclusive, but over and over again, there were a lot of people who wanted something like an urban center, and there were a lot of people who lived around the edges who weren't really sure that that's what they wanted. They wouldn't mind if it went back to the way it had been in 1930 with a grocery store and an ice cream store and a general store. They wanted it to be a kind of neighborhood service area, you know, a place, their local stores, but they weren't really interested in it being a capital area draw. They didn't want jazz and dancing and drinking and so forth. And they were also a little bit jealous. I don't want to malign anybody, but I think they were a little jealous about the attention that was being given to this this potential commercial area, and worried that money that was given to this district was money that was not given to Northtown, to the houses that were all around that needed plenty of attention and money as well. So there was another division, which was there were people who wanted jazzy, bright, fun colors and wanted it to be an artist district, and there were people who wanted historic preservation.
Redevelopment of North Lansing led to the creation of the Jazz and Blues Festivals. Old Town enhanced the modern and urban art scene in the city of Lansing.
The Blues Fest and the Jazz Fest are both put on by the same organization, Old Town Business and Arts. I can surmise, I guess that's what oral traditions are about. You heard probably people are going to talk about Robert Busby and Terry. Those two guys, plus a handful of others, just when they saw this street boarded up, this whole area was just bored. I mean, it looked like the West Grand River coming out of Detroit. I mean, it was just nothing. Well, they were pretty smart enough to get a hold of some properties. And it was a slow build. And I think at the time, I hate surmising. I think the opportunity was right. There was nothing going on here. People came and wanted to inhabit buildings, they wanted to fix them up, they wanted to bring people to the area, and I just think it was nobody was going to say no, because it was all positive. So I think that's why it is. The Blues Fest and the Jazz Fest are really carbon copies, physically. They're identical, except the music's different.
A lot of people come down for festivals. Yeah, beer tent, those have gotten a little commercial. I mean, when we first started doing it, they closed the street and there was fashion shows and people put their paintings out, and it had a much more organic quality to it. And I miss that.
And then, you know, there are a lot of people previously who probably wasn't that interested in art, you know, or could actually see different forms of art, you know, being presented in different venues, you know. And I think that's bringing a lot of people into Old Town now.
Initially down there is an idea that they could buy a big building and set it up in some kind of co-op, art co-op, where you could get space cheap. And And then that kind of happened for a while, but then the buildings got bought and got worth some, you know, the classic gentrification story. And yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's too bad. I mean, I guess that's the story. Things can't stay like in that true art sort of way.
As we investigated the voices of Old Town, we expected to hear a large amount of testimony regarding racism, but we realized that race relations in Old Town are much more complex.
It was a pretty mixed area. There was some area that I know when I went to school at Eastern, previous to that, there were Italian neighborhoods, there were Polish neighborhoods, they're not Greek, but Macedonians. At that time, everybody tended to try to settle where they were familiar.
Everybody, all of the, well now that's one word I don't like, is racist. I like cultures, because there's only one race, the human race. That's my pet peeve, okay? We brought a lot of cultures together.
And I don't recall, there's three or four families. Blacks. The Riddle family, I think a number of them are still around. The Riddle School, elementary school, was named after the mother. She was a school teacher. We used to play with them. It seemed so it was after I grew up, or finished growing up, that, you know, it started hammering. Society started hammering on these things. Well, I grew up with four or five of them. I think our student council president was a black. That was at Eastern High School. So what? They're just another person. I don't care if you're black or pink or whatever color. Do your job, and that's it. And that's the way I looked at society for a long time. Now it just seems like, you know, we don't want to mix. We want to drive wedges, you know. Oh, I'm black, or I'm Latino, or I'm this, you know. So we're Americans. That's the way I look at it. If you do your job, cut your grass, do what? I don't care if you live. We have blacks living in the neighborhood here. Nice people, you know, very well educated. You know, they take care of their homes in this neighborhood. But then you go to other parts of the city and it seems though everybody's kind of bare cross or something. And I don't care for that kind of verbiages that go on or feelings. I think we're all wrong.
No, well, black folks didn't live over there. The only place black folks lived on the north side of Lansing was on Ballard. There were some families lived over there. I didn't know them that well. Ballard, and there were some blacks that lived on Maple. Other than that, blacks lived in the west side. You know, as far south as they lived was, I think there was a couple people that lived on this side of Logan Street Bridge. But most of us lived in the same general area. You know, there were some, but not many. Like if you look at the old records for Eastern High School, no black folks went to Eastern. There were, I would say none, there were very few. And Everett didn't exist. It was Sexton and Eastern. And Everett wasn't even in the city of Lansing, city limits. They did have a small, I guess it was a junior high school or something at that time, but it wasn't a big school. You guys probably want to know why Everett, you know why? You know where Magic ended up going to Everett?
What?
Busing. We had to integrate the schools. But guess who did the integrating? They bused the black kids from the west side to Everett, but it wasn't busing the white kids to where
my recollections, which aren't always exactly true, is there was lots of Spanish people here. And where I grew up at the time, the south side of Lansing, was some Spanish people. There might have been two black guys that lived in the whole area. I mean, it was just, it was that kind of place. And it was when busing was just starting to come in. Now we don't think about it, but there was a lot of controversies about that. So when this area, to my mind, if I had to think, it was just seemed like a Spanish area, kind of like Detroit's got that, what's it, Mexican town they call it. It's kind of like that. They have the restaurants and the people. I knew you hear people chattering in Spanish, so I guess that's what my recollection are. Indian people were living here, American Indian, Asian people were just kind of starting to come in. But because typically it's an older neighborhood, the houses were obviously affordable, and guys could put in businesses without, you know, having a
billion dollars. It's a Hispanic area. And then there were issues, I know, like kind of on the other side of the railroad tracks, where those shop owners and stuff felt not included in the development of Old Town.
So there was some angst about it, but not
yeah.
very much.
No, and it was mostly businessy. It wasn't, it didn't feel ethnic-y. But, you know, it wasn't nothing but mostly white people moving in. So. But then Robert Busby owned all those buildings. He was there and his daughter lived upstairs for a while. And yeah, I don't know, listen, Lansing ain't like that. Lansing doesn't roll like that.
What about?
We're poor all over. We don't, there's no racial issues. There's poor people in every neighborhood. All kinds of poor.
I think it's very, I think it's mostly been white, except for Robert. I could be wrong. Cheryl, no, that's not true. That's not true, excuse me. Because there have been a lot of businesses there that have catered, that have sold clothing to, there have been two different stores that sold clothes for African-American children on one side and for women on the other. But I still feel like the community that I'm talking about has been mostly white and middle class. I'm looking around and I'm not seeing that ethnicity that I would like to. There's Pablo's around the corner now and Hispanics in the neighborhood. But I still feels like that it was a more or less yuppie. For me, I experience it as a more or less yuppie kind of. Movement. I could be wrong about that perspective. I'd love to hear from other people. I'd love to be corrected on that.
So Tony becomes the first non-white mayor of Lansing. But that whole campaign exposes in so many ways this idea that that there aren't racial discrepancies in the city of Lansing. I mean, you know, starting with Verge taking his kids out of school, you know, the accusations that come back against, you know, members of the highly placed members of the Benavides campaign, like myself, you know, front page articles in the State Journal. I mean, just this whole thing, the whole campaign was about race. Mm-hmm. Okay. And it was about race because Tony was Mexican and he speaks with a kind of a Mexican accent. And about Virgil Bonero, you know, who's this white guy and who, for all intents and purposes, should have won that campaign, you know, but he didn't, you know. And I mean, he came back the next time, ran against Tony, and he won then. And so order was restored, you know. But I think that, you know, I think that, you know, people kind of got a shock. And I think that in 2003, it kind of upset the apple cart a little bit, too. Because people were like, you know, what's going on, you know, but to not talk about race in Lansing, I think is to be disrespectful in some ways of the strides that have been made here. Mm-hmm. I think that it disregards the efforts that people have put forward over the years.
The questions of boundaries and space and identity never hold a single answer. As we end this exploration into the specters of Old Town's history and present, we must acknowledge that space is never set, nor does it contain a single narrative. Rather, it navigates between a variety of peoples and experiences that help construct identity. This small space contains a mythology of its own. In remembering North Lansing, we recognize the limits of our own understanding and the memories obscured by years of development. We hope that this contribution brings awareness to the various legacies and realities that construct the space we know as Old Town.